At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warmer from below, welcome to lovely Las Vegas. For Ghost Kitchen with myself, Greg Eves Pierce, and now part of the Beeson Family and Podcast. I have a little bit of a shorter podcast today, so here in the first segment, I'm going to give my little bit of an introduction, and then I'll just bring on Sean Paul. He does a great job of being able to take a look at college basketball. He's over there with the Field of 68, also does the Making the Madness podcast. You're able to find that podcast wherever you get this one, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, list goes on and on. He wound up releasing on Saturday his list of top 30 transfers that are still available in the portal. I'm not going to have him give away all 30 or anything like that, but I'm just going to ask what winds up going into that, how he winds up rating these guys, and just sort of how to be able to mesh guys that were highly touted coming out of high school that maybe didn't see a lot of minutes along with these guys that they have been able to do a lot at the college level, but maybe they wound up doing it at a little bit of a lesser school. So we're going to be asking about that. And then in the second and final segment, because we're only going to do one break, I'm going to spare you guys a few commercials today since it is a little bit of a shorter podcast and wind up seeing a ton of news with regards to college basketball on Saturday, but going to give you guys a little bit of a roundup as to everything that we wound up seeing on that front as well. And always a reminder that if you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you got one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at gunit_d1. Keep in mind, letters EM. They mean does not matter. Size per usual, please send these into the timeline. And the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Like I said, a little bit of a shorter podcast today, so I'm not going to waste any more of your time. We're just going to jump into it right here with Sean. And Sean, great to have you aboard. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Greg. Always happy to come on here.
Always great to have you aboard. And Sean, I know that Saturday afternoon you wound up posting up your top 30 transfers available after everything that we wound up seeing this last week. And I do think that it's really interesting to take a look at these rankings. And what are some of the attributes that you wind up looking at with regards to your rankings? You don't need to go through 1 through 30 or anything like that. We want people to actually click on the article. But with that said, what are some of the things that were really important to you when making this top 30 list?
What I've done this year is I update it pretty frequently. Like if there's a player on my top 30 that commits, I'll usually just swap him out with someone else the next day. And as like Friday, there was like 6 or 7 guys on the list that committed. So I added like 6 new players, but there's a few things. I mean, college accomplishments that they've already done, like Antoine Davis at Detroit Mercy ended up going back to school. He was at like 15 because he wasn't on a very good team. I wasn't sure how his skills would translate to a higher level because he can go get buckets. There's no question about it, but he's not going to have the usage percentage that he did at Detroit Mercy somewhere else. So that was something I kind of considered a little bit too, because the numbers were probably going to come down. And then one thing that I kind of battle with a little bit is years of eligibility left, like with Oshunahi from St. Bonaventure and Manny Bates from NC State. I would say they're pretty even. Maybe Oshunahi's a little better, but Bates has 3 years of eligibility left, I believe, after redshirting last year. And Oshunahi only had 1 no matter what. So I went with Bates a couple spots ahead of him, although maybe if I'm picking for 1 season, I would have taken Oshunahi over him for the 1 season. I think looking at the long term is also something that I look at a good amount.
Yep, I think that that's very important. And what is the most difficult thing that you would say in taking a look at this? Because the one thing that I always struggle with regards to transfer portal, and I don't think it's just me, I think it's a lot of these teams, but taking a look at these guys that they might have been like top 150, top 200, heck, you're even able to go top 100 recruits coming out of high school a year or two ago, but they wind up just sitting on the bench at some like power conference team, or in the case of someone like a Pat Baldwin Jr., he was just a flat out bust this last season if he decides to go back to school. And
gauging those guys that they came into college with a lot of fanfare, but for one reason or another, it has not happened for them, whether it be playing time or just struggles in general. I always think that that's very difficult to quantify.
I usually don't rank those guys very highly. Like KK Robinson is an example there, former top 100 recruit. I think he went to Oak Hill, just a prestigious high school program. And he sat at Arkansas, I think got hurt one of the years, but he didn't do anything for 2 years, essentially. And that's a guy that was a very highly touted recruit, just never got in the court. That's a guy I didn't rank because I'm like, all right, can he be a solid player elsewhere? And he ends up at Texas A&M. Yeah, sure. Did he average double figures? Maybe. But I'm not going to bank on that because we haven't seen it. So I'm going to go with guys who have already shown it rather than guys who came out of high school with larger rankings, I guess, just because I'm going with what I've seen. There's probably a reason that some of those guys haven't been on the court, and that's something that I look at a little bit too.
Yeah, it's always so interesting because we've seen some of these guys just be flat out busts, and then there are other guys like a Walker Kessler, for example, last year, didn't wind up playing a lot at North Carolina, goes Auburn, just completely booms. That's a little bit more an exception rather than the rule, but certainly I've been seeing it go both ways these last few seasons, as we do have Sean Paul of Making the Madness joining me on the podcast. And one gentleman that you pointed out, and this program has been having a very interesting offseason, to say the least, that'd be Iowa State, because Iowa State, the offseason didn't start out too well. You wind up losing Tyrese Hunter because he's right now in the transfer portal, and what he's going to be doing is to be determined. So conceivably, he could wind up going back to Iowa State. That's not out of the question yet, but with that said, he winds up entering in the transfer portal. But now they've got a pair of guys from St. Bonaventure that are going to be coming in. Drawn Holmes, good double-figure score out there in the backcourt. You mentioned Oshun-Oshuni, guy that was able to average 3 blocks per contest. And then on top of that, Jeremiah Williams along with Trey King coming in to help out a front court that really that was a weak point of this team last season. And I take a look at Iowa State. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to make the Sweet 16 once again this season, but I like what they've done ever since they wound up having Hunter enter into the transfer portal.
Yeah, I like what they've done. I'm not sure if I think they're a tournament team yet. I think they're a piece or two away, and that piece, maybe it's AJ Green. His father's an assistant coach on staff. Maybe they land him. I think he would be the missing ingredient for them to get back to the tournament. But I'm also a little confused by what they're doing, because last year, their duo of big men, George Condit and Robert Jones, that wasn't a very good one, probably one of the worst at the power conference level. So they go and add Hassan Ward, who I think is one of the best rim protectors, one of the best athletes in college basketball from BCU. And then they go and add Oshun-Oshunahi from St. Bonaventure, who's also one of the best athletes and one of the best shot blockers in college basketball. If they're planning on playing those guys together, that's not, I don't think that's going to work, because neither can shoot the ball really outside of like 8 feet. Neither are mid-range scorers, neither are shooters. They both block shots, and they're both pretty athletic and long. So once again, that would be them kind of just selling out for defense. I mean, they got to the Sweet 16, but they easily could have lost in the first round to LSU. Like, there was a reason they had a limited ceiling, and it's because they kind of sold out for defense. They didn't have a lot of offense. And if those two are starting together, then I'm not sure how good this Iowa State team can actually be, because that's a lot of limited scoring. I'm curious to see how that plays out. I think they could use a stretch four. And then you mentioned Trey King. I don't even know where he plays in this equation now, because they've added so many big men. So I'm just kind of confused as to what they're doing. I think they need more guards and more big men. Like, Oshunahi, if you could add him, cool. But at the same time, I'm not sure I really would have done it after you added Hassan Ward. I'm just kind of trying to figure out what the game plan is here for them. Gabe Kalsher is probably never going to be a good shooter again. He's back, but he's probably not a good shooter at this point. You need a guy. If you can get AJ Green, awesome. Maybe add another guard too. You need more guards, because in the Big 12, there's a lot of great guards. You need some more guards.
And you mentioned the Big 12 and the need for guards. And of course, we wind up having another marquee big man wind up going to the Big 12 on Friday in Trey Mitchell. He was playing at Texas. He stays within the conference. He goes to West Virginia. And if you take a look at what West Virginia has done, I think that really under the radar, they're having one of the best transfer portals of any team that we've seen this offseason. Obviously, Mitchell wasn't the world's greatest fit at Texas, but there were just so many mouths to feed at Texas that I thought that it was going to be difficult for everyone to wind up getting served. But they wind up bringing back Evan Matthews after he got more playing time at Washington than he had ever been able to get at West Virginia. So you've got a little bit of a reuniting there. Joe Toussaint, not a guy that's going to score, but a very good facilitator, someone that's able to play some good on-ball defense. He comes over from Iowa. Eric Stevenson shot, I believe, 97% at the free throw line. Guy that could never really put it together while he was at Washington, but took a couple strides forward at South Carolina. I take a look at this West Virginia team, a team that's always been predicated on depth, and I like what they've done, being able to get in a good blend of guys.
Yeah, I like some of the pieces they've added. I think Trey Mitchell could be really good. Like, let's not forget, this is a guy that was one of the best big men in the country a couple of years ago at UMass. He was consistently dropping 20 and 10 a night. I think he was 18 and 10 on the season 2 years ago. Like you said, too many players at Texas. He still had an okay season, 8.7, 4.1 rebounds in a loaded front court with Dylan Disu and Timmy Allen and Christian Bishop. Just so many options. I think he'll fit perfectly at West Virginia, who last year, they just had no real like scoring options there. They had Gabe Osaboyan, who never shot the ball, Pauly Polycap, Damon Kerrigan. Those guys just aren't offensive options at all. They're all rebounders. They're all shot blockers. They're not going to go get you a bucket. Trey Mitchell, while he's not a great defender, he's going to go get you a bucket. So that's going to be an interesting change of ways for Bob Huggins. But you look at some of the other pieces, like you said, Joe Toussaint, he's a great defender. He's really quick. I think he's limited offensively. Eric Stevenson, great free throw shooter. He can make 5 threes on any given night, but he could also go 0 for 10 on any given night from three. And Emmett Matthews also is not a very good shooter. So if you're noticing a trend here, Iowa State and West Virginia might be two really bad three-point shooting teams. I think West Virginia needs a couple of shooters here. Seth Wilson, who's a sophomore this year, he's a big guard, 6'3". I think he's like 210. I think he could be pretty interesting because he can shoot the basketball. That was really what he was known for coming out of high school. So maybe he could get a larger role. But I think West Virginia needs a couple more shooters here because you lose Taz Sherman and you lose Sean McNeil. Those are some pretty premier shooters to lose from a team that already was not very good last year.
Yep, it was a West Virginia bunch that when they wanted to make the NCAA tournament for that 2021 big dance, they were a very good shooting team then. But we have seen West Virginia do it in a wide variety of ways. They were playing the press Virginia style a few seasons ago. Then, as we know, when they had Oscar Sheway, Derek Culver, they were going more down low. So the one thing I will say about Bob Huggins, he always has versatility with his rosters. As we do have Sean Paul of the Making the Madness podcast along the Field of 68 joining me right here on the show. And then it feels like I wind up talking about this team every few days because they have been very active in taking a look at the transfer portal. That's Florida. Ever since Todd Golden has gotten there, this has been a team that has really made some good acquisitions. And I was talking about it with Oshun-Oshuni wind up going to the Big 12 in Iowa State. Well, Kyle Lofton, who was playing with him at St. Bonaventure, he winds up going to Florida. For one, I have no idea what St. Bonaventure is going to do this year because they were five deep. They've added a couple guys in the transfer portal, but it looks like it's going to be a bad year for them. I mean, boy, they lost literally all their scoring from last year. But also on the Florida side, I like the hire of Todd Golden on a scale of 1 to 10. I feel like most people give it to a 9 to a 9.5. I probably gave it more like an 8 to an 8.5. I like Todd Golden. I don't think I'm as in on him as most people, but what I am in on is the guys that he's bringing in because – I mean, him with Will Richards and company, this has been an absolutely terrific offseason for Florida.
I mean, Todd Golden is just so smart. He's an analytical mind, and he's going to play to his strength. Like, he's going to get players that want to play his style of basketball, and that's a really modern style of basketball. He's going to stretch the floor. He's going to shoot the ball a ton. He's going to play up-tempo. And last year, I think he kind of found something when he added Ewan Masalski from San Diego, that, hey, you can have four shooters around him, but go get that big bruising rebounder who can score inside, and that'll help a lot too. And obviously you're going to get more options like that in the SEC than you do in the WCC, and you have Colin Castleton, who's really good. And I think he is one of the biggest beneficiaries of what Florida has done this offseason because they have a lot of floor spacing. He's going to have a lot of room to operate. He's a guy who he could hit a nice shot from 12 to 15 feet if you leave him open enough, and he can score one-on-one with a nice hook shot. He has soft touch at the rim. You have Will Richard, who has good size and can shoot the ball. You have Kawasi Reeves with good size and can shoot the ball. You have Myron Jones, who can shoot the ball. Alex Fudge, he's a big-time athlete, great defender, not much of an offensive player yet. You're going to have a lot of floor spacing there for Colin Castleton. I think he could be in for a really big season, maybe an SEC Player of the Year kind of caliber year. I think Florida has a top 15, top 20 ceiling, but I think they'll make the tournament for sure. I'm just curious to see what that ceiling ends up looking like and if guys like Reeves and Richard can take steps up this season.
Yeah, but I think that's so big that Todd Golden is going into a situation in which it wasn't like it was dire at Florida. You expect more out of Florida than making the NIT like they did last year, but this by no means was a team that was...
No, it wasn't.
This was not like a bunch of pushovers or anything like that. For much of the year, we thought that they were going to be in the NCAA tournament. They were in the top 25 for a bit of the season as well. So certainly good situation there for Todd Golden to step into, and I feel like he's making it so much better, and I'm going to be very intrigued to see what winds up happening there. And just the SEC in general, I feel like he's had the best offseason, because we look at some of these conferences, and I feel like there are a few of them that they haven't necessarily embraced the transfer portal. I've been a little bit critical of the Big Ten and the way that most teams have not been utilizing it. There are a couple of exceptions, mm-hmm. like Michigan bringing in Jalen Llewellyn, and I like what they've been able to do there. You wind up bringing in TJ Shannon over there at Illinois, so that's going to be a solid gift for them as well. But by and large, they haven't necessarily embraced that. The Pac-12, I feel like, could do a little bit more as well. But I take a look at the SEC. They've done a great job with that. You've got six new coaches coming in, and I don't know if there's necessarily one dud hire. I'm not necessarily high in South Carolina with their transfers, but I just take a look at the entirety of the SEC, what they've done this offseason, and I'm very impressed.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think South Carolina's going to be pretty bad. I think Vanderbilt, they took that step up last year. They made the NIT, which is a step up for what they've had in recent years, but they might be Oregon State-level bad this year. Like, they're not going to be very good this year.
Yeah, it's going to be rough for Vanderbilt, because you wind up losing Scottie Pippen Jr., and Scottie Pippen Jr. was pretty much the offense for them last season. A little bit surprised that Jerry Stackhouse, just with his name alone, hasn't been able to bring in a little bit more talent. But a man that always brings talent to this podcast, a man that always does an absolutely terrific job, that'd be you, Sean. I mentioned it, you wanted coming out with your top 30 transfers list a little bit earlier on Saturday. I know that you've been doing a great job of keeping up with that. I mean, as of right now, it's hard to give too many previews just because we've got nearly 1,700 players in the transfer portal. So we've got a lot of moving parts before we can be like, oh, this team should be number three out there in insert your conference here. But I know you're getting prepped for that. I know that you're doing just amazing work taking a look at everything. So let the good people at home know they're able to follow you on social media and everything that you've got going on in general.
Yeah, a lot of fun, big things coming. Just follow my Twitter at SeanPaulCBB to see all of them. If you want to see my transfer list, you can go to my Substack to see that. So just keep an eye on my Twitter. Keep tabs if you want to follow. Much appreciated, almost at 9,000. Just appreciate all the support.
And Sean does amazing work just taking a look at the game of college basketball. He is dialed in this offseason, taking a look forward as to what we're going to be getting, because championships that are won in March and April, because obviously you've got conference championships as well, they are won through just these teams being able to build through the transfer portal, being able to get all their guys on the same page. So it's always important to take a look at that. And Sean, all 12 months out of the year, does a great job of being able to follow this sport. So a big thanks to him for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops Out, part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we wind up seeing in college basketball on Saturday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Gray Hoops Peterson, now a part of the VSiN family of podcasts. And it is always a pleasure to get our good friend Sean Paul of Making the Madness on this podcast. He does absolutely magnificent work taking a look at the game of college basketball, studying it 12 months out of the year. And like I said, he's got his top 30 transfers still remaining in the portal list, currently available on his Twitter feed at SeanPaulCBB. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Saturday. And not going to lie to you, it was not necessarily the most rambunctious of days. Florida National wound up getting a pretty nice get, in my opinion, in Austin Williams. And it's very clear that they're targeting the northeast part of the country as they wind up also bringing in Nick Guadarrama from New Hampshire, a little bit of a 6'5 combo player that wound up having right around 6-7 rebounds per game, double-figure amount of points. And for Austin Williams, I do like this kid, someone who last season while he was playing at Hartford and was part of that NCAA tournament team from a few seasons ago, wound up putting up last season right around 16.1 points, a little bit over 5 rebounds per game. So this is someone that I take a look at him, and I do think that he is going to be pretty rock solid. And when it comes to Conference USA, certainly a little bit of a topsy-turvy conference, so I feel like you're able to rise up in it relatively quickly. Now, we've got your stalwarts like a UAB is going to be towards the top. Western Kentucky, I think, is going to be in for another big year. But having a guy like Williams, who's 6'4", that also gave out right around 3.5 assists, 1.3 steals per contest, going to make this FIU team very well-rounded. Big question I have is, the turnovers wound up having 3.4 per contest last season in FIU. They've had their struggles with being able to retain the ball the last few seasons and not being able to generate those swipes. Last year wound up really costing them, but with that said, I think that this is a very solid move and a good step in the right direction for them. You did wind up seeing Oswaljigin Durasimi. Hopefully I'm saying that one correctly. This is a gentleman from St. Bonaventure, so Oswaljigin from St. Bonaventure. We're going to try to put it as simplistically as possible. He has decided that he is going to be going to Northern Illinois, and For Northern Illinois, we're going to call it what it is. It certainly has been a little bit of a slog for the team, and they're bringing in a guy that really didn't have a lot of production as literally the last one to leave St. Bonaventure, turn the lights out. They brought in a couple guys via the transfer portal, but as we were talking about with Sean Paul over there at Making the Madness, going to be a completely and utterly new-look team for this team this upcoming season. But I think the big thing for Durasimi is that while he was coming out of high school during the recruiting class of 2018, is a guy that wound up having a little bit of fanfare towards them. I know that Georgetown was a team that was recruiting him just a little bit. 6'9", 220-pound big man. And for Northern Illinois, this has been a team that has been getting just completely decimated on the glass. Now, with this gentleman, he also just did not wind up putting up many numbers whatsoever in his time at St. Bonaventure. So, certainly a case in which he just did not wind up having a lot of production. But with that said, if he's able to find a couple minutes over there at Northern Illinois, be able to give them a little bit of a dimension that they haven't had in past years, that is going to be very solid for them. And then Trey Woodard, this is a little bit of a bigger one. He wound up deciding that he is going to be going to New Hampshire. So, you wound up seeing one guy leave the America East, and he wound up having one guy come in, and it's a guy that I think has a little bit of upside with Trey Woodyard. He was playing at Valparaiso this last season, just did not wind up seeing a lot of playing time, right around 1.2 points, 1.2 rebounds per contest. A little bit of a 6'5" joker player who's able to stretch a floor, is able to hit a couple threes for New Hampshire. I mentioned it a little bit earlier, the fact that Nick Gudorama is out of the fold, that winds up burning them a little bit, but this is a team that they play at a very slow, methodical style. Valparaiso was never a team that was necessarily getting out there, running it and gunning it, and it is a New Hampshire team that they're looking to turn over a little bit of a new leaf, but they've had some success being able to bring in some transfers. Taylor Matos is someone that wanted coming in from Bowling Green. A little bit of a big man, was able to help this team out down low a little bit. Quan Murphy is someone that wanted coming over from Houston Baptist. He was able to do a nice job holding it down in the backcourt as well. So I do think that there's going to be a little bit of upside with this transfer. I do like it for them. And then, in my opinion, Weber State got a relatively good get on Saturday as well. Stephen Verplanken Jr. last season was at Southern Illinois, won the slowest teams in all of college basketball. At 6'4", was able to shoot it well from three-point range, making 40% of his threes. Needs to work on his rebounding a little bit more. Had right around 6.5 points per game. He decided that he is going to be going to Weber State. Weber State has seen a little bit of moving and shaking as they wound up losing Sisho Jawara. Always a very interesting name to say. And Kobe McEwen, I believe, is out of eligibility as well. So they did need to bolster up that backcourt. A team that year in and year out has been one of the best three-point shooting teams in all of college basketball. Last year, that wound up taking a little bit of a dip. But for Plankin Jr., I think he's going to be able to come in to the Big Sky. He's going to be able to have a relatively big contribution with them. And hopefully I'm having a big contribution with how you're getting set for the upcoming college basketball season. We've got nearly 1,700 players in the transfer portal. So we still got a lot to figure out. But sooner rather than later, we are going to be having conference previews, taking a look at every single one of these conferences, breaking down every single one of these teams, as I always do for VSiN. I'm going to do a write-up for every one of these teams as well. So I've got you covered with everything that you need to get set for the season. Then, as you guys know, once we wind up hitting the regular season, I'm going to give you guys picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM. Name does not matter, size per usual. Please just send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Big thanks to Sean Paul of the Making the Madness podcast, along with the Field of 68, for joining me today. And hopefully you guys will tune in tomorrow because, well, we've got a restless time right now in college basketball with regards to all this movement, and I'll have you guys informed every single day. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC.
We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.